Blog Talk Radio.
When we reach the city of a new Jerusalem, we'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, far and wide. All the ransom singers were together with Bethlehem. We'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. Oh, what joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath that cloudless throne. In that land where saints never die, we'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. Now victory and love will be our everlasting theme. We'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. Praising our Redeemer there beside the crystal stream, we'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. What joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath that cloudless throne. In the land where saints never die, we'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. Now in that mighty chorus voices will so sweetly blend, we'll sing hallelujah, hallelujah, by and by. Gone will be our sadness, pleasures they will never end. We'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. Oh, what joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath that cloudless road. In a land where saints never die, we'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. Then, oh, what joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath that cloudless road. In the land where saints never die, we'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. When we reach the city of a new Jerusalem, we'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. All will be our sadness, pleasures there will never end. We'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. What joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath the cloudless throne. In that land where saints never die, we'll sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, by and by. Amen. Again, this is Pastor Mike Peter with the Golgotha Church of Christ. This is Thursday night. Say to show thyself approved workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. We work in collaboration with Armed and Dangerous Ministries at the Good Morning Your Majesty's building, different areas, and then also Thursday night, which is say to show thyself approved. We're also broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio tonight for Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. And again, my name is Evangelist Michael Peavy from the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. And we're just glad to have you this evening. We're just so pleased based on the fact that God is an awesome God. And without him, there is no other. And we just love him in all facets of life. For God is the best thing that's ever happened to us. And he's the only thing that we will ever understand as we continue to walk through this world. And we continue to have an advantage of working out our soul salvation through fear and trembling as we continue to share God's word with others. Good to see you guys that are on. I understand that there's some delay going on with the video, but it will continue to rapture itself into play. Good to see you, Terrence. and some of the others that are on as of right now. Praise God. We have been dealing with Jesus' ministry, and we've been talking about the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, where Jesus is up on a mountain. He's healing so many people, and he's walking around, and they're bringing the disease, they're bringing those that are hurt, bringing those that are maimed, those that are blind, those that are going through things. They're bringing them, and Jesus is curing them of diseases and healing them of all facets accordingly. And so we have dealt with the poor in spirit. We said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We talked about those that mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We talked about the ones that were gentle. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And those that hunger and thirst after righteousness are blessed, for they also will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And last week we talked from the subject matter, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. But today, we want to take a look at the 10th verse. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a thing that Matthew uses, and we need to understand that he's speaking to a certain audience. Each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are really designed and are speaking to certain audiences. Mark is speaking to the Roman audience, talking about power. Luke it takes two letters, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, both written by Luke the physician, right, to convert one man, Theophilus, who was a Greek official, so written to the Greeks. John is a little more personal, and he's written to, is written on more of a one-on-one level. You see things like the woman in the well, Nicodemus, the love of more compassionate love with John, even though he interacted with some of the other ones. But Matthew, his gospel was literally written to the Jews, because the Jews were looking for the Messiah to come, but they did not recognize him when he came. Matter of fact, they kept fighting against what was right there in front of them. And so Matthew's whole take is to let them understand that the kingdom is near, is at hand. And so when Matthew comes in, we see John the Baptist, who is speaking, and after 400 years of no prophecy, God has spoken, although he's working on his plan. John the Baptist opens his mouth, and he's a voice crying in the wilderness. And bring the highs low and the lows high. And he's preparing the way of the Lord, making the path straight. Jesus comes on the scene, and John baptizes Jesus in Muddy Jordan. And for the first time in the New Testament, we actually see the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working together for the same cause, unity personified. And then we see Jesus beginning his ministry. Remember that the Father was speaking from a cloud above. The Son was ascending out of the water, right, and then descending. And the spirit of a dove and the form of a dove was the Spirit of God. And it was that Spirit that had, and the Father spoke, said, this is my beloved Son, my only begotten Son, Monogenesis. And then we see that the Spirit in the form of a dove flies away and leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So we understand that the example that has been set in front of us is that as soon as you come out the baptistry, you're going to have to tackle or have to tussle with Satan. And so with God, all things are possible. Without God, you are at a disadvantage. So we see here that society has broken some people down. Community has broken some people down. Oppression has broken some people down. They're looked at as second-class citizens. They have no citizenship at all. They have no hope. It seems like they lost their identity. And Jesus comes to the forefront and lets them know God loves you. God's created you for purpose, has designed you masterfully. And it doesn't matter what the world views you as, God views you as powerful and valuable. And so I want you to understand that you are blessed. It's not a sin of happiness, not a sin of temporariness, it's not a band-aid on a boo-boo. You are blessed, meaning you have favor with God. And your relationship with God should be more deeper as you go. Have you ever been persecuted? How can I find joy in persecution? Remember the text says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We must understand that the kingdom of heaven is what Jesus is talking about that's coming into existence as he pushes towards Matthew 16:18, where he's going to say, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, singular. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He also in the 18th chapter, verse 15, which says the same thing to the remaining of the apostles as well. So access into the kingdom of heaven is a given to the apostles that Jesus trained. And the Bible lists them. Jesus had 12 apostles that he trained. One of them ended up being a devil, allowing the devil to get in him, Judas Iscariot. He had to be replaced by Matthias. And then we see Paul, who comes on the scene and meets Jesus on the Damascus Road. Those are the only scriptural apostles that the Bible gives us. Now, I understand we live in a community today in idiomatic sense where the word apostolos is used and people are wearing that name. It does not scare me, doesn't bother me, based on the fact that it only means messenger. And we all are ministers, we all are messengers, we all are to share God's word and our experiences. But God has some special messengers that he has presented. And that's the, when you get into the book of Ephesians, and he talks about the apostles and the teachers and the pastors and evangelists for the edifying of the saints. Those apostles have done their job. And the prophets have done their job. And it starts to pass on as the church begins to build and comes out of infancy to a state of perfection. Well, the book is closed, and we have the perfect law of liberty, and we no longer have to see in darkness. There's no longer a mystery, but we understand that the church was in God's mind from the beginning of the world. And so as we see those that work out their soul salvation through fear and trembling, they will suffer persecution. And if you're going to suffer, you need to suffer for right cause. Many times we suffer for things we've done for ourselves, things we've done on ourselves, things that we should receive judgment for, because we have not done as we should. But when you suffer for the cause of Christ, then God shines a light on you and gives an energy within you to be able to stand. Let me give you an example. Run with me over to Acts, I think it's chapter 7. Run with me to Acts chapter 7. I believe it is. I'll know it real quick when I get there. And we're going to take a look at Stephen. Might be Acts chapter 6. Quote real quick. Acts chapter 6 and 7. Let's see. I want to go out of here. Start reading in the sixth chapter, verse 1. In those days, as the number of disciples was multiplying, there was a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation or good report, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint on this duty, that we will devote ourselves to prayer and the preaching of the ministry. The proposal pleased the whole country, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the preaching about God flourished. The number of the apostles in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some from what is called the Freeman Synagogue, composed of both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some of Cilicia and Asia, came forward and disputed with Stephen. But they were unable to stand up against his wisdom and the Spirit by whom he was speaking. Amen, somebody. Then they persuaded some men to say, we heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, so they came, dragged him off, and took him to the Sanhedrin. They also presented false witnesses who said, this man does not stop speaking blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we heard him say that Jesus, this Nazarene, will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us. And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Is it true? The high priest asked, brothers and fathers. Excuse me. He said, listen, the glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran, and said to him, get out of our country and away from your relatives, and come to the land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of Chaldean and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to this land you now live in. He didn't give him an inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground, but he promised to give it to him as a possession, and to his descendants after him. Even though he was childless, God spoke in this way: his descendants will be strangers in the foreign country, and they will enslave and oppress them 400 years. I will judge the nation, and they will serve as slaves, God said. After this, they will come out and worship me in this place. Then he gave them the covenant of circumcision. After this, we fathered Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. Isaac did the same with Jacob, and Jacob with the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs became jealous, and Joseph sold them into Egypt, but God was with them and rescued them out of all of his troubles. He gave them favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who appointed him ruler over Egypt and over the whole household. Then the famine was great, suffering coming over all of Egypt and Canaan, and his ancestors could find no food. When Jacob heard there was great in Egypt, he sent his ancestors the first time. The second time, Joseph was revealed to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. Joseph then invited his father Jacob and all his relatives, 75 in all, and Jacob went down to Egypt. He and our ancestors died there, were carried back to Shechem, and were placed in a tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. At this time was drawing near to fulfill the promise of God he made to Abraham. The people flourished and multiplied in Egypt until a different king who had not known Joseph ruled over Egypt. He dealt deceitfully with our race and oppressed our ancestors by making them leave their infants outside so they would survive. At this time Moses was born, he was a beautiful in God's sight. And he goes on and on and on, and he continues to proclaim what Moses did. We get down to in the 7th chapter, verse number 54, I'll pick up there. Well, let's pick up verse 51. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit, and your ancestors did, so do you. Which of the prophets did the fathers not persecute? They even killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you now have become. You received the law under the direction of angels and yet have not kept it. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were enraged in their hearts and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled by the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw God's glory with Jesus doing what? Standing at the right hand of God. Jesus, when man is persecuted for righteousness' sake, stands up, a standing ovation for his servant, stands at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they screamed at the top of their voices, covered their ears, and together rushed against him. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their robes at his feet of a young man named Saul. They were stoning Stephen as he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And saying this, he fell asleep. So, Stephen was persecuted for righteousness' sake, for doing what is right, speaking what is right. He was killed as a martyr, but Jesus stood up. That's why we see in the text, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God has a place for you. That's why it says he only fell asleep, because when he wakes, heaven will be his home on the judgment day. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And what I want us to see today, and I want to remind us that, folks, it's easy to be a Christian in the United States of America. Oh, yeah, we deal with some things that we're hurting, and there's all kinds of issues, but it's much easier here than what we hear about elsewhere. Why is that? Because we have laws that are governed and allow us to worship independently. We do not have to experience any type of systemic persecution. We're allowed to worship God with freedom of speech. And even though they take God out of the schoolhouse, they haven't taken him off the money. Even though they've taken God, they try to take him out of your home and out of your mind. Those who stand for God are still able to bow to God. And so we must know how to rejoice. We gotta find real joy in the midst of persecution. If God makes us a promise that we are blessed, we have received grace and mercy, we have received favor in the midst of suffering, then you need to know when you suffer for the cause, not for a cause that you put in place, but based on the fact that God wants to get some glory for it, to have you as a masterpiece so other people can see they have no power over him. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? You killed Stephen, but you didn't take his power. You didn't take his acknowledgement and his dedication to God. He proclaimed, Jesus, take my spirit. Hold on to me, Lord. Walk with me during this time. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, I want you to see Paul helping us to see some things in the midst of our suffering. The Bible says, and I'm reading from the Holman's Christian Study Bible, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, equip yourselves also with the same resolve. You are going through something in this flesh, folks. This flesh craves what it wants, and it's going to keep grabbing what it feels that it needs. You have to have mind over matter in order, and you have to have the mind of Christ over physical matter. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, equip yourselves also with the same resolve, because the one who suffered in the flesh has finished with sin in order to live the remaining time in the flesh no longer for human desires, but for God's will. Amen, somebody. How are you living today? Good to see you, Hines. Good to see you, Darvell. Good to see you, Cousin Ed. How are you living today? Are you living so that God's will will get glory? That God's plan will go forward? Even though the obstacles you may have in front of you, do you push it out of the way and you stand with God? Stand for God in spite of. I'm at a point in my career, at a point in my Christianity, and at a point in my faith that let everyone go if they have to. Me and God are a majority, and I will walk by faith with him to the day I die. For there has already been enough time spent in doing what the pagans choose to do, carrying on an unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. Anybody heard? Anybody been caught up in that? Evil desires, unrestrained behavior, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, lawless idolatry. So they are surprised that you don't plunge with them into the same flood of wild living. Hello, somebody. The Bible tells us that wild living, right, is no more than a flood. And what happened with the flood? Folks drowned. Remember we talked about the prodigal son? The prodigal son went out and got rid of his same, spent everything his inheritance on wild living, a riotous living. Well, he was even accused by his older brother of dealing with prostitutes. I always ask the question, how would you know if you was at home? However, we see here that it gives an idea of what wild living is. See, many of us didn't understand that what it was saying. We just thought we was having a good time. But the Bible kind of gives us a picture, and not in a slanderous form, of what wild living consists of. And it talks about unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. So they are surprised that you don't plunge with them into the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. People will talk about you, slander you. That's a form of persecution, a form of suffering. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. Folks that slander you still have to face Jesus. You don't have to walk by that. You don't have to answer to calls and names that are not on your birth certificate and do not represent who you are in reputation. They have to give an answer to the judge that's going to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged by men in the fleshly world, they might live by God in the spiritual realm. God wants us to not live fleshly, but live spiritually. And whatever it takes for you to elevate to a spiritual level, you may have to get rid of some people or rid of some folks or rid of some things that hold you back. There's weights that easily beset you, jealousy and malice. You've got to let them go so that you can ride the spiritual elevator, which will take you to the spiritual paradise. Verse 7, now, the end of all things is near, therefore, be serious and disciplined for prayer. Above all, maintain an intense love for each other. Here you go. Since love covers a multitude of sin. How is your love indicator? We understand hate and malice and worldliness, but how much love do you have? Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Hello, somebody. Somebody need to hear this today. Be hospitable. That means serve one another, right? Hospitality was so important that when someone came into your midst, you bowed before them, washed their feet, had them sit down, got them something to eat to let them be a little comfort. Right before they went on their journey. That was part of coming into your presence. If not, it was a disgrace on who you represented and on your household. How do you treat people today? Are you hospitable? Are you only with them because of money reasons? When the last time you called somebody that you thought, that they thought was your friend, or you thought was friendly, and you just reached out to them and said, hey, how you doing, Doc? How you doing, sis? Just checking on you. Wellness check. So we got to check on one another to make sure that the same thing got a hold of us. If you ask, we got to try to hold one another up. You are your brother's keeper. And I don't care who says you're not. The Bible says we are. Don't be like Cain and Abel. Don't be like Cain who killed his brother Abel. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Based on the gift each one has received, use it to do what? Serve others. What's your gift? God, we all have at least one. Use that to serve others for God, and God will bless you. When you use it to serve others for you, God gets no glory. So as good managers, when you manage it, God's grace has been given to you. And the overflow is to bless somebody else. So in stewardship, in servanthood, as good managers of the very grace of God, he says, you are to serve one another. If anyone speaks, It should be as one who speaks God's words. Anyone speaking to speak of the oracles of God. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides. What God has given you, that's what you work with. So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Now let's take a look at verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. You're going to be tested. A test proves your worthiness. Are you ready to be tested? God will test you. But it's for your betterment. It's to see where you are with faith. Not so God will know. God already knows. But that you will understand. And that you will work to be have a deeper relationship personally with God. So, dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you and something unusual is happening to you. You got yourself in a sticky situation. It was a little rough, a little hot, right? Instead, rejoice. What? Instead, rejoice. What does that say? Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah. Oh, Jesus was persecuted, and so now my persecution is tied in with his. Oh, it's a privilege to suffer with Christ. That's what you're telling me? So that you may also rejoice with great joy at the revelation of his glory. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. None of you, however, should suffer as a murderer. None of you should suffer as a thief. None of you should suffer as an evildoer. And none of you should suffer as a meddler. Let me read that again. Verse 15. No one is given God glory. Should suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he should not be ashamed, but should glorify God in having that name. You don't understand what power and what's connected to walking with the name Christian. You just thought you got your T-shirt, right, and had a little Bible that you blew the dust off on one day a week, and you're a Christian. Now, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but glorify God for having that name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who disobey the gospel of God? And if a righteous person is saved with a difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? For those who suffer according to God's will should, while doing what is good, entrust themselves to the faithful Creator. Let me give you that verse 19 again. So those who suffer according to God's will should, while doing what is good, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To summarize, let's see what you're saying here. You're saying that it's easy to be a Christian here, but it's not necessarily easy to be a Christian elsewhere. Why is that? Because we have systemic persecution elsewhere, and you have laws that give you the ability to be Christians over here. That's why 90% of the preachers are preaching to 10% of the world, and 10% of the preachers are preaching to 90% of the world. You need to go abroad or reach abroad so you have an idea of what's going on in the other parts of countries. So there's five things I want us to get out of this lesson. This lesson will be yours. We got to learn how to rejoice. Find joy in the midst of our persecution. Rejoice because God is testing you. God's chosen you, not frozen you. And you will be tried. So you can see how deep your faith is. How deep is your love? So rejoice because God is testing you. Rejoice because you share in Christ's suffering. What Christ did on the cross, even at the point of our baptism, we share in his burial, his death, burial, resurrection. Now we share in his sufferings in our daily walk as we suffer as a Christian. Remember, the word Christian means Christ I am. So I'm Christ-like. So suffer as a Christian. You should rejoice. Good to see you, Sister Kathy Kendall, and Heather Crawford. Good to see you this evening. We're lining up with Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, and we're in 1 Peter 4 right now. Rejoice because God is with you. God said he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So in the midst of what you're going through, just like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. It was turned up seven times hotter. They opened the door, and as they opened the door, those that put them in got burned up. But they threw them in there bound. But when Nebuchadnezzar took a look inside of there, he said, hold it, let me get an accountability. This reason to throw three in there. They said, yes. But now it's a consistent yes. He said, but I see four. And they're walking around having church. They ain't bound. They're having a good time. And I see one that looks like a son of man. God's going to be with you. He's going to extinguish your fire. Just like he can give a lion lockjaw. So rejoice because God is testing you. Rejoice because you share in Christ's suffering. Rejoice because God is with you. Is there something else yet? I want you to rejoice. Because God is glorified. As you go through something, people are not to see you, they're going to see the God in you. So that means God has never lost the case. He's victorious. That's why you can't turn back. As a good soldier, keep marching, practicing with a posture. And even your enemy will have a problem with that. And then one more thing. Rejoice because testing you. Rejoice because you share Christ's sufferings. Rejoice because God is with you. And rejoice because God is glorified. But one more thing I want to leave with you. You need to rejoice because justice is near. It's so important to have justice near. I'm going to turn the conference call back on so that if there's any announcements at this time, they can come through there. But I want you to rejoice because God's going to put an ending. The day of judgment is coming fast. The day of judgment is coming fast, and it is not waiting on anyone. And when Jesus hears from the Father, go get my peeps. Remember, there'll be two standing. One will both be in the field. One will start to elevate. And if the other one ain't elevating, they're going to grab onto something until they have to let go. Don't be like the 10 virgins, five the wise, had excess and had enough oil to keep their lamps burning, waiting, anticipating for the second coming. And then others had to go and try to find something because they squandered all that they had. God's justice is near. Judgment day is coming. And we need to live as if God's coming back in the next hour. In the next hour. See, if someone did, the doctor told you you had 2 days to live, what would you do? What you had on your calendar wouldn't even matter. You get rid of all that, and now priorities will come to the forefront, right? We need to live as God at the forefront is coming back very soon. Hold close in prayer that this lesson has blessed you. We love you. And do something for somebody that they can't repay you for giving Jesus Christ and them crucified. I'm going to go through the broadcast line at this time. See what on, see if they have any comment. Looks like my wife, are you there, dear? That you on the Blog Talk line?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
All right. You got any comments on the lesson this evening?
That's a very powerful lesson. Help us to understand, well, when we go through our trials and tribulations and we go through the testings and the things that God uses to make us who he would have for us to be, we have to get to the relationship, a point in our relationship where we have complete trust in God and not let go and do not become weary and downtrodden. And that's because of the blood of Jesus. That's a contestant to God. We have to believe, hold on to that blood and keep trying, keep striving. Just understand what's going on and just try to get a better understanding day by day what's going on and what he's doing with us. And we can only do that by trusting God.
Amen. Amen. It's so important. Thank you so very much for that. That we understand exactly that. And Sister Kathy Kendall wrote down, we got to know how to rejoice. Notice that's a two-part word. Re and enjoy. So you have to have some kind of excitement. Now, what is joy? Well, let me say this. Joy is what you're going through and how you react to it. You don't feel excited about the pressure you're going through, but how you react to it is what others see. And it also needs to be what you see internally. So how you view what you're going through will definitely dictate the motivation of your attitude and the signals you send through your brain and the temporal of your brain in order to how you deal and act among others. So God wants us to learn how to smile, learn how to rejoice, learn how to jump and click your heels in the midst of persecution. Because he's a good God, he's a great God, he's an awesome God. And beside him, there is no other. We love you. Have a good day. And see you at 4:30 in the morning for prayer. Good morning, Your Majesty. Again, the billing found in dangers is Monday to Friday at 4:30 a.m. Myself and Pastor Lewis Wade does the prayer line at 4:30 in the morning. Monday nights, they have prayer. On Tuesday night, they do the Word of Christ. My brother, Moses Rudis, is the one for that. On Wednesday nights, is seniors night. Barbara Robinson is dealing with that. Thursday night is this night, study to show thyself approved. We try to give you something of God's word that will help you in your daily walk, and you'll be able to study and grab something from that. And then also on Fridays, the flagship service, come back on Fridays, and you'll receive another word from the Lord. And then they also have Kingdom Endeavors, which is an online consignment shop that has various things from purses to jewelry to different things that are coming out. It's a new endeavor that's going forward. It's doing extremely well, and we want you to support that and look into that. And then Blog Talk Radio, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ, not only on Thursday nights and on Sunday mornings at 11:30, but Monday through Thursday, it's going to be Monday through Wednesday as of right now, Monday through Wednesday at 12:30, and then Thursday night at 7 o'clock. So that way I won't have to double up. Amen, somebody. Trying to get my little schedule together because we got some other things that are in the pipe. But I want you to call in at 619-924-0767. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. And do something for somebody that can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and them crucified. And good to see you, Brother Sean Hunter. And Sister Delores Stewart Johnson, good to have you this evening. God bless you in the name of Jesus. We love you. Have a great evening.